This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, January 17, 2021, the second Sunday after Epiphany, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Speak, Lord, for thy servant hears. With words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Those are the words from the first reading this morning. Speak, Lord, for thy servant hears. I always say we need to pay close attention to Scripture because there are some things that are easy to miss. If you're paying any attention at all to the Scriptures this morning, that first reading, there's something very obvious to miss, like the story. That reading this morning, Samuel gets called three times, Samuel, Samuel, and Eli looks at him, oh, go back to bed. And if you hear it again, say, speak, Lord, for thy servant hears. And then, and Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. What were his words? What did the Lord say to Samuel? That's the story. That's the story. And it's huge. Is something that we need to understand, that is something that is imperative to the way we understand who God is and what He expects of us. We don't get the story. That's why we say, look at your bulletins, and if there's a Samuel verses 1, Samuel chapter 3, verses 3, the second part of verse 3 to 10, and then 19, what's going on with verses 11 and 18? The story. And if you don't read before that and after that, you only get that whole story. Let me give you a little background. This Eli, this one who tells Samuel, go back to bed, and if he calls again, say, speak, Lord, for thy servant hears. Eli was the chief priest of his day. He has two sons, Hophni and Phinehas. They are priests. They are not only bad priests, they are evil men. They have stolen the offerings that have been given to God. Stealing is one thing. Robbery is a second. Robbery, the difference is stealing is you just take something from somebody. Robbery is threatening them if they don't give it to you. They do that. Here's an offering for the Lord. Well, give it to me. Oh, no, I brought it for the Lord. If you don't give it to me, I will take it by force. A priest. Eli, the chief priest, their father does nothing about it. They even take physical liberties with women who are bringing offerings to God. This is how heinous these two guys are, and their dad just lets it go. It's not just their dad who's a problem. The people are letting it go. Why? Because they're not looking at what God says and what God requires. Although they'll pay lip service to it. Well, God says that, you know, He gets the offering. You give it to me. Okay, you're the priest. You go ahead. Okay, you're the priest. You can take liberties with the women that come up to give up. What is that? So it's not just Eli, it's the people. We have to appreciate the fact that God's parameters, His rules, He expects to be lived across the board. He will not have them being ignored. You know, Eli, a little background on this guy. Eli himself is actually, he lives somewhat of a commendable life, personally, save the fact that he doesn't correct his sons and never says anything about them. He lives a commendable life. It's not enough for God. He knows what the law of God is. He knows that his sons are doing wrong. And God even sends a prophet a couple chapters before this little thing here. It's Eli, God knows what your sons are doing, And he knows that you're not correcting them. Fix it. Eli does not. Yeah, I know what God says, but they're my sons. He lets it go. I said when we started it, we need to know who God is and what he expects of us. You know, because in this day and age, it's kind of a convoluted message. You know, we get this message of God being the doting old grandfather that just looks at us as, you know, his little grandchild. Oh, boys will be boys. I don't care about their sin. He cares tremendously. He cares tremendously, and he expects you to live your life across the board. Eli is exhibiting what I always refer to as salad bar theology. I'll do this and I'll do that and I'll do that, but I'm not going to correct my sons because I really love them. You know, and they are my sons. You know, I know they're not doing right, but, you know, boys will be boys. See what he gets him as we go on. But we need to understand that God gives us these passages of Scripture in order to learn about who he is, what he expects of us. And if we don't know them, we are not doing what Samuel did and going, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant hears." We don't speak, "Lord, and just tell me some things that I like or that are okay and comfortable and pleasant for me." Not the case. And Samuel grew and the Lord was with him, and he let none of his words fall to the ground. What were God's words? In part, I would highly suggest going home and reading verses 11 through 18. In part, Samuel, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant hears. Behold, I'm about to do a thing at which two ears of everyone that hears it will tingle." That is not being positive. I'm going to do something that's going to scare the pants off of everybody that knows it. I am about to punish Eli's house forever because his sons were blaspheming God and he did not restrain them. And he goes into great details of what he is going to do. Because Eli's not living in accord with his law, and his sons are just evil, and he's doing nothing about it. And it's not just them that are going to pay, it's the people also, because the people are letting it go. No matter what we do in life, we have a vocation. Vocation means call. You know, the whole thing about these three different times, Samuel, Samuel. Here I am. When we're at the baptismal font, you fill in your name. That's where it starts. He calls your name at the baptismal font. We're like Samuel. We don't get it. Who's calling? What am I supposed to do? What do I? And then our confirmation, same thing. Your name's called. Do I get it? Maybe I don't. Maybe. If we got good spiritual directors, do we have good parishes, then we refer these people that are being called by God, and we say, "You just say, speak, Lord, for thy servant hears," which means you need to pay attention to what he says when you go to Mass, when you read Scripture, when you pray, when you learn the traditions of your church. That's the Lord speaking through the Holy Spirit. We have to appreciate that when God gives us his word, a lot of times they are warnings. We've just got to heed them. Then things will be okay. You're warned about something, you don't do it, everything works out well. We don't do well with warnings. Usually the hammer's got to fall before we take notice. We just don't pay out. Back in another lifetime, when I was a cop, I was in the traffic unit a couple times. I was one of those guys who drives around in the unmarked cars that nobody knows about. They're like, "Darn it, man." Yeah. You know, how many times you get behind somebody and you're in your pickup truck, you turn the lights on, you pull them over, and they're like, you know, you can actually see the heads in the... You get out of the car. "I'm so sorry, sir." "You're sorry that I'm driving that. That's what you're sorry about, okay? Let me see your license." You go back to the car, you give them their ticket. "Don't I get a warning?" "So I followed you for a few miles and we passed three speed limit signs. Those were all your warnings." "Thank you very much. Press hard 5 copies. We have to, I'm dating myself, they're all electronic now. If you got a ticket recently, you don't have 5 copies. Warnings, we don't do them well. Same thing applies with God. And we sit around and we play off as warnings. You know, we look at the command. That's just the churchy thing. And is that real? Yes, it is very real. Just like those people got their comeuppance, okay, after warning after warning, then we have to understand that God does the same thing. This is what he's doing right now. I said before, he warned Eli of what was going on, and he said, in so many words, I shall not be trifled with. I will not be mocked. There will be a reckoning. If you don't fix this, he doesn't fix it. I said before, this is a vocation for us. We are called by God to do what he does. You know, if you just took the reading for what it is today, you know, Samuel gets called three times and then he answers God. He says, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. And then he grew in knowledge about him and he didn't let any of the words fall to his mouth. Basically, that message is, you just take that and you go, well, I guess Samuel was a pretty swell guy. Let us move on. No, we need to know the story. Samuel wasn't a swell guy because he heard what God said. Samuel was a swell guy and a great prophet because of his willingness to proclaim God's word, even when it was very unpleasant. This is a kid. This is a boy. That's another thing that you didn't read, because it's in verses 1 and 2 of the passage that are not read. God did not speak. It was rare for him to speak in Israel at those times. Why? Because he's taken his hand of blessing off of them. He is not blessing them anymore, because there's going to be a reckoning with the people and with these priests. We cannot approach evil as Eli did, whether it's in our families or in our church. It is your Catholic duty, in front of the 1962 Roman Missal, to correct the sinners, to admonish the errant. It is your duty. Well, that's for priests and bishops. It's your duty. For those over whom you have authority or you have some influence, it is your duty. It's not your duty to go around hunting for things like that. It's not even a priest's duty to go hunting for things like that. But when we're confronted with it, we have to address it. St. Basil the Great actually deals, and he's talking about this particular passage. You know, and you know, think about this in terms of the way the church is now. Oh, we don't ever preach about sin because people don't like to hear about that. You know, we're not going to tell you and point out in the lectionary where passages on judgment or the exclusivity of our Lord Jesus Christ and salvation in him alone. We don't want to hear things like that. We'll just let things go because, you know, this is up to God. We just let them go. Basil the Great says, an unfeigned fondness to the wicked is a betrayal of the truth. It's an act of treachery against the faithful and a means of habituating oneself to indifference to evil. It corrupts us individually when we let things go unaddressed. We don't tell people, your soul is in danger because of your course of action. You may very well go to hell if you die right now, unless you fix it. This is what Samuel did. And Samuel was petrified to have. It's not easy. I mean, the kid goes back to bed after God tells him all these things he's going to do to Eli. And can you imagine having to tell your boss that God just said he's going to end his family in this world forever? A kid. He's kind of laying there awake all the rest of the night. The sun comes up and Eli wakes up. This is sad. Eli knew. Eli knew that God was calling Samuel. You know, the three times you called me. I didn't call you. You called. I didn't call you. Oh, gosh. God hasn't spoken in a long time since the last time I heard about my sons. And now he's speaking to the kid. This, to use bad grammar, ain't going to be good. Tell him to speak. Samuel's laying there. I can't say that to him. And Eli calls him in. And this is where, again, Eli's life is commendable in a lot of respects. He says, you tell me everything he says and do not hold one thing back, because he knows it's bad. He says, if you hold one word back from me, I hope that double happens to you. You know, and if you just talk to God and he said he's going to drop the hammer, and somebody looks at you and go, if you don't tell me what he said, I hope he drops the hammer twice on you. You're probably going, all right then. This is why we should be upfront with people. who are in sin. This is the necessity. Because like it says in Ezekiel, their blood is on your hands if you don't try to correct them. The hammer is going to fall on you also if you don't correct them. So Samuel, that's what God said. Eli doesn't bat an eye. He knew it was coming, and here it comes. This is what ultimately happens. The Ark of the Covenant is where God is. It's God's presence with his people. And the Philistines attack. And the Philistines are looking like they're going to win. Let's march the Ark of the Covenant out there because they'll be scared because they know what he did to the Egyptians. March the Ark out there. And the Ark of the Covenant can't go anywhere without priests in attendance. So Hophni and Phinehas, they accompany the Ark out there. And God allows the Ark to be taken by... Notice I didn't say the Philistines took the Ark. God allowed the Philistines to take the Ark from the people of God because they didn't deserve his presence anymore. And Hophni and Phinehas are killed. And a messenger runs back. And Eli's waiting for words of the battle. And he's sitting on a stoop. And he is, the way the scripture describes it, we would use the term morbidly obese. He's sitting there, which is a problem for a priest in the first place, to be morbidly obese. Shows a lack of self-control. And the messenger said, "Your sons are dead." Probably knew that one was coming. And the Philistines have taken the Ark. When he hears that, he falls over backwards and breaks his neck. A reckoning. The hammer fell. After a bunch of warnings, and he didn't fix things. This is the reality of who God is and what he expects of us. But it's also something to understand that we need to apply it to our lives. As I said about our vocation, we need to hear what God says in its entirety, and we have to act on it. Yes, we have to prove things. I say this all the time. What do you hear all the time when you try to say, "I don't have to prove anything to God. He knows my heart." Lie. That's a lie. You do have to prove things. A second reading today. St. Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Your very bodies. If you do something in your body that is illicit, immoral, and evil, it's not just because of the act itself. You are denigrating the temple of Almighty God. And just like Eli, your soul is in danger unless you fix it. We need to act like we believe what we say we believe. And why don't people do that is because they love something more than God. Whatever it may be, their kids, whatever actions in which their lifestyle, they love something more than, "I know what God says, but I love this more." That is the bottom line in this. To use a term that we would use, God's not bound by our emotion, but it infuriates him. God isn't bound by emotions, as I said, like we are. But he will react like we do when we're infuriated. St. John Chrysostom says about this, and he's speaking about Eli. He said, "This is what ruined that admirable old man, that the way he lived his own life provided no reason for blame, yet because he overlooked the treading underfoot of God's laws, he was chastised with his children and paid that grievous penalty. He who failed to treat his own children with due firmness endured a grievous punishment." We don't come away from this going, "Oh, my kids are grown and they're out of the house and they're off the rails. Am I going to be held again?" No, you are not. If you've tried to correct them. If Eli had told his sons, "Stop, don't do that. Heck with you, Dad. Leave us alone. Hey, you're an old man. Get out of our face or we'll kill you." Eli would have been just fine. But he didn't. He didn't say a word about it. He just let them go because he loved his sons more than God. And he paid a dear price for it. It doesn't matter what we're doing in this world that separates us from God. We love it more than him. And there will be a reckoning. You know, this in our day and age, this passion speaks to us. Because it's just not about Eli and you personally, you know, reckoning with God over your own voice. It speaks to us as the people of God. Because the Ark of the Covenant, it wasn't just his sons getting killed and him dying. And then, well, here, all the bad priests are gone. Now here's the Ark of the Covenant. No, God took his presence away from the people because they turned a blind eye to it also. Because they paid more attention to the institution than they did to God. We got a lot of that going on in our day. It's called ultramontanism. We pay too much attention to what's said by the administration as opposed to what is said by God. We got to pay attention to what he says. You know, and as opposed to getting all bent out of shape when we hear something that contradicts what God says coming from the institution, we need to step back and go, I'm going to do what God says. I'm going to do what God says and whatever on the other part. There may be consequences, but I got to do what God says. St. Peter did that. The Pope of his day, the chief priest, look at Peter. Have we not ordered you not to speak in this name? Speaking of preaching in Jesus' name. And Peter looked at him and said, whether I'm doing something right or wrong, that's for you to judge. We can only preach what we have seen and heard. If you've seen and heard what God says, you must not only preach it, but you need to live it. Because you're reckoning against God, not against the institution. You pay too much attention to the institution as opposed to God himself, because that's what the church is, the body of Christ. It's not any given administration or any given bishops or whatever. It's the body of Christ. This is what we serve. This is where the reckoning will be. Did you do what the church has always taught? Did you do what the scriptures say? Did you do what the magisterium of the church has always presented to us? That is what you're going to be answerable for. Not the latest vogue statement or latest statement that makes us I hope the world likes us because we're doing this. St. Paul says in Galatians, if we please men, we're not pleasing God. This is where you have to be attentive, is to God, what he says. We need to live. Speak, Lord, for thy servant hears. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.